The Bible says in Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 10, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians, that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for the opportunity to be back in your house tonight. Lord, I thank you, God, for the good service this morning. Lord, how it stirred my heart and convicted me. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. Lord, I pray, God, that you would meet with us here. And Lord, I pray that you'd meet with us in a mighty way. Lord, I pray, God, that you would help your people. Lord, no doubt people are in all kinds of different situations. Lord, there are people that are hurting. There are people that need help, and they've probably not even told anybody else, but Lord, you know. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help us tonight to see that you want to fight for us. Lord, how I need you to help me to preach tonight. God, I pray that you'd empty me of me and fill me with you. Lord, I cannot do it without you. Lord, I need you tonight in a mighty way. And Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The children of Israel are leaving Egypt. God rose up a deliverer in the man Moses and made a way for his people to go out of Egypt, to go into the wilderness and worship God. Now, that's a wonderful picture when you look at it of salvation. Because the children of Israel were in bondage. They were under that weight of slavery. They were under that weight of bondage for the Egyptians, and they were tired. They were struggling. They wanted something different, and God heard their cry. Aren't you thankful when God hears our cry? When was the last time that you cried out to the Lord? Amen. He wants to hear from us. He wants to hear what we have to say. And they cried out unto the Lord, and he rose up a deliverer in Moses. And he made a way for them to go out. He told them to sacrifice a lamb. That if they would take that blood of that spotless lamb and apply that blood on the doorpost across the sides and across the top, that when the angel of death would pass over, he would not take the firstborn. But those that didn't, when the angel of death passed over, he took their firstborn in such a way that Pharaoh just said, it's time for y'all to go. And so we see that this is a picture of salvation. I'm thankful tonight that God has made a way for man to be saved. I'm thankful that he's given us a sacrificial lamb in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ just doesn't cover sin like it did in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, it cleanses us. It washes it all away. And we see these people coming out. We see, no doubt, if you just picture this in your mind, as they're walking out there rejoicing, they're stirred up in their spirits, and all of a sudden that just goes out the window because they look in the distance and they see the Egyptian army. No doubt they could see the dust coming up, and they could hear the horses coming, and all of that just went out the window. All the peace that they had, it went out the window. And the Bible said in verse number 10 that they cried out to the Lord. It said in verse number 11 that they criticized and they complained about it. But in verse number 14, the Lord gave Moses a message to tell the children. Notice this, and this will be our text tonight. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. There's going to come a time in everybody's life, Lord willing, that you won't be in Egypt, trapped between the Egyptian army and the Red Sea, like the children of Israel were. But let me say this, you'll be trapped spiritually. You'll be in a place that you can't get out of. You can't figure out how to do it. You can't figure out what to do, what to say. You try to go here and you try to go there and none of that works. But God wants to fight for you. God wants to fight for you in such a way that there's no doubt in your mind that He did it. And let me say this, when He does a work, when He fights, when He blesses us with His grace, there's no doubt in our mind that it's Him that's doing it. I'm thankful for that tonight. The Lord's not being cruel, but He's preparing us for the next step in our way to go. Now, there was a time in my life, there's been more than one time, but there was especially one time that I was trapped. I woke up one morning, I was 33 years old, I woke up one morning to take my son to the babysitter. He was just about a year and a half, 2 years old. And I woke up and I went to shave and I looked in the mirror and there was a mass that popped up on my neck about the size of my fist. It literally popped up overnight. I didn't know what it was. It scared me. I went to my doctor. I took him to the babysitter. I went to the doctor and she poked around on it. She said, I think it's just a cyst. She said, but we still need to go get a CT scan. So I went and got a CT scan that afternoon. And by that afternoon, my right arm started swelling up because it was on this side. I knew something wasn't right, so I went to the emergency room. And she said, we got the CT scans back, and we can tell that there's something wrapped around one of your arteries, but we'll need to do an MRI the next day. And so I went to get the MRI done, and I don't know how many of you have ever been in an MRI machine, but there was like a little periscope mirror that I could look and see the people that were giving me the tests. And the horror that was on their faces, and they were getting people to come and look, and I knew something was wrong. I just about had a panic attack right there in that machine. And I left, and I went to my doctor, and I said, something's not right. And she went and got the test results, and she came back in, and her face was as white as this piece of paper. And my doctor came in, and he said, I don't know how else to tell you, but he said, that you've got a tumor on your neck, and he said, there's nothing that anybody's going to be able to do about it. We're just going to have to just let it go. He basically told me I was going to die. And I left that hospital. My wife called me. She was optimistic. How did it go? And I had to tell her I had cancer that day. That I wasn't going to make it. I went into the hospital and praise God, they found out that it was lymphoma. It wasn't just a tumor right there, but I did have a tumor on my neck and 1 9 centimeters behind my lung and 3 on my spleen. I was in stage 3 cancer. They put a port in. They did 6 months of hardcore chemo. But I want to tell you, I was in a place that I was trapped. There wasn't anything that anybody could do for me except God. And I want to say to you that He fought for me in that time. He helped me. He led me. He guided me. He did for me what nobody else could do for me. But I was trapped. God is not trying to be cruel to us when we get trapped. But He's trying to prepare us for the next step ahead. I'm not going to preach long tonight, but I just want to give you 3 things in the thought that the Lord wants to fight for you tonight. I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know what you're going through tonight, but God does. And God wants to help. Number one, I want you to notice the turning of the Lord. The turning of the Lord. Notice what the Bible says in chapter 14 and verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pirathaireth between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon, before it ye shall camp by the sea. Let me say to you tonight that the children of Israel did not lose their map. Their GPS didn't break down. They didn't take a wrong turn. But it was God that turned them into that place that they were trapped. It was God that led them to the place where there were mountains on the backside. There was the Red Sea in front of them, and there was the Egyptian army coming from the back. It was the Lord that turned them into a place where they were trapped. You say, well, Brother Chris, why? I believe one reason. I believe specifically for the children of Israel. The Bible says in verse number 8, read with me, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel, here it is, went out with a high hand. They went out thinking that they were more than what they were. They went out thinking that they were in control, not so much God, but that they were in control, and they were feeling a little bit too good about themselves. Friend, let me say this to you. We can't do one thing unless God helps us. We can't take one step unless He gives us the strength. We can't take one breath unless He gives us the air to breathe. But we sure do try, don't we? Boy, when problems come in and things and trials start, we want to pick up the phone first and call somebody. We want to get in the car and go here and try to run there and fix it. But that's not what God wants us to do. But God turns us. There's different reasons I believe God turns us. I believe He turns a person so that they can be saved. The Bible says that no man cometh to the Father unless that He draws them unto Himself. I think about the Philippian jailer. I think about how he whipped Paul and Silas and they put him in the jail, and he sat outside the door and they started singing and they started praising God, and the walls came down and the jailer was scared to death. He thought that they had escaped. And Paul hollered out there, he said, "Do yourself no harm. We're still in here." And that man got saved. He got saved and his family got saved. It don't seem so bad when you think about when God turns somebody so that they'll come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. If you start praying for somebody to be saved, when you start calling their name out to God, things might start getting bad in their lives. But friend, don't get upset. Don't worry about it. God's just reeling them in, bringing them to Himself. Are you with me tonight? Sometimes the Lord turns us so that we'll submit. I think about in 1 Samuel chapter number 27, the Bible said that David turned into the land of the Philistines and stayed there for a year. He was living in a place that he wasn't supposed to live. He was dealing with a people that he wasn't supposed to be dealing with. And in chapter number 30 of 1 Samuel, the Bible says that the Amalekites came to Ziklag when the men were gone and took the women, and I believe he said it took the children as well. And the men cried, and they were upset, and God turned that situation. Why? So that David would turn back to God. Maybe it's that God is turning something in your life. It feels uncomfortable, but He's doing it so that you'll turn to Him, that you'll submit your life back to Him. He wants to be Lord of your life. He wants to take over. He wants to have control. It's just a matter if we'll let Him. He wants to fight for you tonight. Are you going to let Him? There's also, God wants to show Himself. Sometimes He turns somebody that they can see Him. Remember Job and all that Job went through? He lost his children. He lost his substance. His wife told him to just go die. But the Bible says in verse number chapter number 42, Job said, "I heard with my ear. But now I see you like I've never seen you before." God turned him because He wanted to show Job some things. And God blessed him, said He blessed him more in the latter than He did in the first part of it. I think about the Lord turns us to strengthen us. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, the Bible said that the Lord allowed Paul to get a thorn in the flesh that he prayed for three times that God would remove it. And God didn't remove it. And Paul said that he would rather the power of God rest on him than to be free of that thorn in the flesh. Do you have something tonight physically that's on you that you feel trapped, that you just can't get under out from under? Maybe God's using that to draw you unto Himself, to help you in a greater way, to show Himself mighty and true in your life. I think about a preacher I heard tell a story. He had a daughter that was in the hospital, and he took her. He and his wife went, and they were visiting her. She was very sick. And while they were there at the hospital, the wife got sick, and they had to admit her into a room. And for hours he was going back and forth from one floor to another, checking on his daughter, checking on his wife, and he was just getting physically tired, physically worn out. And he went outside. He said it was about 5 o'clock in the morning, and he went outside and he was praying, just trying to get some air, some fresh air. And he said that all of a sudden he heard this little bird chirping. It was early in the morning. And he looked over in this bush, and there was this little bird. He said his hair looked like he was even messed up because he just woke up. And he said, "Why?" And the Lord said, "Listen, that little bird knows something that you don't know. He knows the sun's coming up in just a few minutes. Can I tell you the sun's coming up? Can I tell you it's not always going to be like this? It's not always going to be doom and gloom, but there's going to come a time that the Lord's going to just touch the thing, and it's going to turn it around, and it's not always going to be that way. There's the turning of the Lord. Let me give you this. There's the testing of the Lord. When I was in elementary school, many times at the first of the year, they'd give us what they called a pretest. In great part, it was to show the teacher what we didn't know, but it also showed us, or that what we didn't know, and it showed us what we didn't know as well, so that we would be taught. And I think that happens when it comes to the Lord and His people. I believe the Lord will give us a test in our lives and show us just how much we don't know, and just how much we need Him. And He'll test us, and it'll let us see our manner. And I want you to notice in verse number 13, the part of this test. The Bible says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not." How in the world, when something like cancer comes in your life? How in the world, when something like death comes into your life? How in the world can you not be fearful? The Bible says, the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's the opposite of fear. Bob Jones Sr. said this, that we ought to grab a hold of the promises of God and hold on to them even if the stars fall from the sky. We need God's promises. Amen. Right before I got sick, I was preaching up at Mountain City, up at the prison, Northeast State Correctional. And I'd started a Bible study over in the annex, Brother Rick, and was just having a good time. And there was a barber over there, big old guy. And after one of the times we had together, he came up to me. And he had a little white piece of paper, and he said, "God wanted me to give you this scripture." And there were two different passages on that piece of paper. And I said, "Brother, I appreciate that. I appreciate you thinking about me." And I put it in my Bible, and I closed it. Now, 3 days later, I found out that I had cancer. And I'm being honest with you, folks. It hit me like a ton of bricks. I laid in that bed just waiting to die. I wasn't eating. I lost weight. I thought, this is it. I was being critical. I couldn't figure out why God had given me a wife and a son, and why He was going to take me away from it. I just 9 months out of Bible college, and I was like, "Lord, what are you doing?" And I got tired one night and finally got to the place that I knew I needed to open up my Bible. I didn't know where to go. And I flipped it open, and there was that little white piece of paper. And that inmate, that brother, had given me Psalms 103. Let me read it to you. I wasn't planning on reading it, but he said this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits." Here it is. "Who forgiveth all our iniquities, who healeth all our diseases." God said, "That's your verse. That's your verse." It gave me something to hold on to. It gave me a promise. It gave me something to take me just a little bit further down the road. And let me say this, when God turns you and when you feel like you're trapped, you need to get a hold of a promise out of God's Word. There's plenty of them. He just wants you to take one. He wants to give you something. He wants to speak to your heart and to help you to get past where you're at. He wants you to have faith and not fear. He told them to fear not. Then he said this, then verse number 13, he said, "Stand still." Can I tell you, we need to glean from the Holy Spirit when God has us in a place that we're trapped, to be able to wait on Him. And I want to tell you what, that's one of the hardest things for me to do. I don't know about you, but it's so hard for me just to stand still. I want to call somebody and ask them to help. I want to try to flee and just to try to get away from the situation. But God said to stand still. When I was laying in that bed with cancer, I got so tired. I'd been laying there for 2 weeks. I got so tired of it, I just rolled over and I started to pray. And I said within my spirit something like this, Lord, I just can't go on this way. However long you're going to give me to live, I just can't lay here depressed like this, just not eating, not doing anything. And I just put my head down in my arms, and I just started praying and crying. And just as clearly as you could hear somebody speak, He spoke to my heart, and He said, Chris, do you believe I died for you? And I said, yes, Lord, I believe it. He said, so your body's not yours. It's mine, because I bought you, and I can do with it whatever I want to do. And I want to tell you what, I got that peace that passes all understanding, because I knew that it was in His hands. I knew that He was the one that was in control. Did that wipe away all the depression and anxiety? No. But it sure did give me a breath from heaven that helped me to press on, to move on a little bit further, a little bit further. I shared this with the young people on a Wednesday night. But there was a time I just got around the chemo, and I had really tough rounds of chemo. I'd get them every 2 weeks, and I did it for 6 months, lost all my hair, would get sick, couldn't get out of bed. And they were having a revival meeting at our church. Brother Brian McBride was there to preach. And I wanted to be there so bad. But I got on the internet and I was listening to it. And I really can't tell you so much what the message was as I can remember what the invitation was. And he said, if you need something from God, just come forward today and pray. Of course, I couldn't do that. But I was laying on an air mattress. I was secluded to this air mattress in the living room. And I just rolled off the air mattress and put my head down and started praying and praying. And I got an alert on my phone. We just got smartphones. I guess they were smartphones. And it alerted me that I had an email. I didn't quit praying. I kept praying until I was through. And then I took my phone and I looked at it. And it was an email from a man from India. I don't know how he got my email address to this day. I don't know the man, and I don't know how he knew me. But he wrote me an email, and it said something like this, Brother, I don't know exactly everything about what you're going through. I don't know everything about your sickness. He said, but I know a God that can bring you through it, and I believe He's going to help you. And I wasn't in church that day, but I had church at the house, amen. I got up, shouted all through the hall and in the bedroom and through the kitchen because God helped me. He gave me something to show me that He was in charge. Because the Bible says, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God wants to show you something. God wants to help you to see something that'll change your life, that'll turn you around, that'll give you a little extra to go forward for the Lord. But let me give you this. Not only the turning of the Lord, not only the testing of the Lord, but let me say something about the teaching of the Lord. Tests and trials are not for the amusement of God, but they're for our advantage. God tests us and tries us to help us, to strengthen us, so that we can go to the next place in our lives. I think about those men that brought their friend to Jesus, and they got up on the roof. You know what I'm talking about. They removed those tiles, and what they did, they couldn't get in the door, so they got up on the roof. They went to the next level. Can I tell you what? God wants us to be like those men taking their friend to Christ. He wants us to go to the next level with Him if we'll just do it, if we'll just go. That's why he turns us sometimes. That's why he allows us to get in a place where we're trapped. But notice what he wants us to see, what he wants to teach us. In verse number 15, the Bible said, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward, but lift up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." Now I want you to think about this. Think about Moses as he walked out there. He's got all of Israel behind him. And God told him to take that staff and to walk out in the rod and to hold it out over the sea. Can you imagine how the devil must have been on him as he was walking out there towards that water? What are you going to do with that rod? These people they're going to see who you really are, Moses. You're going to go out there and hold that rod and not one single thing is going to happen. But you know what? He went and did it anyways. He had to die to some things. He had to die to his appearance. God help us to die to our appearance. What we think of others think about us. Now, we ought to have a good testimony and strive to have a good testimony, but we can't live just on what everybody thinks about us all the time. We've got to die to our appearance and think more about what God wants us to be than what everybody else wants us to be. Amen. Am I making sense tonight? He wants us to die to knowledge. Moses, he couldn't figure out what God was going to do. He just assumed God would pick him up and set him over on the other side of the sea. But God had something better than that. God was going to divide the waters and let them walk right across on dry ground. That's just the way God is. He does exceeding abundant whatever we can ask or whatever we can think. That's just the way God works. And He wants us to die to our own desires. It's not about what Moses wanted to do. It's about what God wanted to do. He wants to teach us about ourselves, folks. He wants to teach us about Himself. He wants to teach us about God. What about God, Brother Chris? That God will do exactly what He says He's going to do. God told Moses what He wanted him to do, and when Moses did it, God did exactly what He said He was going to do. When God gives us instruction, you better take it to the bank that He's going to come through and do that thing that He wants to do. Amen. I believe He wants us to learn something about the enemy. The Bible says in verse number 23 in chapter 14, "And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked into the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptians." He wants us to see that there's a real enemy. And that real enemy is going to fight us the whole way until we get to glory. He's going to be after us. The Bible says He walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom He may devour. And my pastor in Bible college said this, "He'll walk by your door 1,000 times to find it open that much so He can come in and wreck everything." We need to make sure our doors are closed, amen. We need to watch and make sure that we're doing exactly what it is God wants us to do. And then He wants us to know something about the world. Verse number 25, talking about the Egyptians going to the sea, "and took off their chariot wheels, and they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." He wants us to see something about the world, that there's nothing here for us. That world is just stuck in the mud. That's all that it is. There's nothing here for us. Just like Brother Rick preached this morning, there's nothing here for us. This isn't our home. The Lord doesn't want us to set the foundation here. He wants us to be pilgrims passing through. And we need God to help us with that. God wants to teach us some things. But the thing about it is, we've got to want to learn them. We've got to get to the place that we'll submit ourselves, even in the midst of trials, even in the midst of tests, that we've got to stop and say, "Lord, not my will, but thine be done." I heard a story about these military divers in the Navy. these deep sea divers, the ones that put the big helmet on and the suit, and they run a line straight down into the ocean, and those divers are to go down, but they have to train to do that. As a matter of fact, when they first start doing it, they go down with a diver that's been trained to help and instruct these people. And so they go down, and every so many feet that they go down, the instructor will stop them. And they'll grab a hold of their heads and look at them in their face, look at them in their eyes to see if they're okay, to see if they're getting a little weary or disoriented. And he looks at them and makes sure they're okay, and he says, "Are you okay?" And they'll shake their head, and he says, "Okay, we're going to go a little bit deeper." And then they'll go down a little bit more, and he'll stop them, and he'll grab them, and he'll look at them, and he'll check them out. He'll inspect them and say, "We're going to go down. Are you okay?" And they'll shake their head, and they'll keep going down. Friend, that's what God wants to do with us. There's sometimes he has to take us down into the depths. But every so often, he'll stop and look at us and say, "Are you okay?" He doesn't let us go down by ourselves. He goes with us, and he watches us and makes sure that we're safe, to make sure that everything's okay before he takes us down a little bit further. But can I tell you this? We can trust him. We can trust him to take us down. The Lord wants to fight for you tonight. He wants to help you wherever you're at tonight. He knows. He wants to be there. He wants to help you. I'm going to give this back over to Brother Rick.